In today's times, we hear a lot about freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of expression, which, by the way, which was mentioned earlier about pornography is protected under the freedom of expression. Unfortunately, individuals are attacked verbally, demoralized, humiliated, all in the name of freedom. The court system often errs on the side of freedom, despite the effects it has on the well-being of others. People are torn down emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, all in the name of freedom. Freedom is used as a shield to hide behind agendas. Ben gave an example of that earlier. Attacks are made on the church by any means necessary to demoralize and to humiliate faith. Examples of abuse of freedom can be found in these statements. I can do as I please. It's a free country. I have a freedom of choice. Well, the entire concept is predicated on the idea that you can express or do anything that you wish in those statements. With such worldly views around us, it's not a wonder that sometimes maybe we make unwise decisions when it comes to our personal choices in the name of freedom or liberty. While freedom grants us rights to do and say things, we must look at it from a biblical perspective. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, it states, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Paul is saying here that it might be lawful, but is it profitable? Now, when I look at this verse, and I've looked at this verse several times over the years, and we've examined this verse, I'm sure, a number of times, I liken it to the business world. There are a lot of things that are legal in the business world, but they're not always ethical. Or more importantly, they're not always biblical. They may be legal, but not ethical or biblical. Let me give you an example. Under civil law, you are allowed to sue another person. But is it ethical? Is it wise to use or to sue another individual, especially a brother in Christ? I believe we have biblical guidance on this in this very same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you starting in verse 1. I'm not going to look at that now, but we have biblical guidance on this. You have a legal right, but is it ethical? Is it biblical? So before we can wisely choose liberties, and that's my topic this evening, before we can do that, it might be helpful to understand the difference between freedom and liberty. Because you notice when I started in the beginning, I mentioned only the word freedom. So let's look at the differences between freedom and liberty. Freedom is a state of exemption from the power or control of another. Freedom is personal, civil, political, and religious. In a general sense, the government grants us our freedom. Liberty, on the other hand, is applicable to the body or the will or the mind. The body is at liberty when not confined. The will or mind is at liberty when not checked or controlled. A man enjoys liberty when no physical force operates to restrain his actions or violations. So when we talk about wisely choosing liberties, we're not talking about freedom. Freedom is already granted to you in this country by the government. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through his flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, we have been freed from the old law. We have been granted liberty in Christ. And because of that, that He has granted us liberty and liberty, we have free will. We have choices. We are instructed here to walk after the Spirit, but we also have to be honest with ourselves and know that the flesh is weak. So because of this, some questions come to mind. Some questions that were posed to me, and I in turn are going to pose to you. Do we overestimate our strength as Christians and put ourselves in situations we shouldn't be in? What should be our decision-making process when we don't have an example or instruction on a specific circumstance? Good questions. The first one, I can most assuredly say yes, we overestimate our strength as Christians. The second question, what's the decision-making process when we don't have a specific example or instruction? What is that? Well, we could what if all day, and we don't have specific answers for everything, but we can cover a few basic principles. When we talk about forms of entertainment, places we go, types of clothing we wear, what should be our decision-making process? So, remember, as I stated earlier, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's ethical, doesn't mean it's biblical. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Yeah, Galatians 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Now I'm reading out of the New King James. I believe the Old King James says, don't use your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. In other words, don't use the freedom, the liberty Christ has granted you as an excuse to do whatever you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. Just because you have the right, you might have the freedom to go and do whatever you want, doesn't mean it's virtuous, doesn't mean it's upright, doesn't mean it's honorable. When it comes to the liberty we have in Christ, remember we were talking about our will. Our free will has been granted to us by the blood of Christ. Which ultimately, that free will leads to actions, the choices we make in this life. So when we talk about our decision-making process, there's one word I think we don't too often discuss, and I want you to consider this evening. That is reproach. If you don't know, reproach means without blame or discredit. And generally, we refer to it bringing reproach upon the church. In Timothy and Titus, we have the qualifications of an elder. And what you'll find is you'll find the word blameless, or you'll find the word reproach. These men were to be blameless, or they were to be above reproach. So it seems to me that this is pretty important when it comes to considering wisely choosing liberties. These things just weren't set aside for these men to be qualified for. These are things that were incorporated into their lives. Being above reproach. Your words, your actions, and yes, even the things you wear reflect upon you, your parents, and yes, the church. So I was asked to give specific examples of these things that were the letter that was given to me. So, I'm going to share with you the Martin Household Principles of Clothing. Okay? And it's three basic principles. The first one is decided this a long time ago, I do not allow my children to any service, and this goes for my wife and I as well. They don't wear anything that services that has writing on it. No words. I decided that instead of my child coming to, is this word okay? The next day, is this word okay? I just made a blanket rule that no writing whatsoever. And I abide by the same rule. I love my Kansas Jayhawk t-shirt just as much as the other guy. But I don't wear it to services. Okay? I abide by the same rule and principle that I set forth before my children. Why do I bring this up? Well, I've seen men before the congregation in many places that stand up here leading songs or what have you that have writing on their shirts. And sometimes, men, I'm sorry, it's not appropriate. So I find the rule is for me, in my household, is just to rule all of it out. Another basic rule I have is, where's my son Seth? Seth, if you have a shirt that's designed to be tucked in, what are you supposed to do?
Tuck it in.
So, men, again, I'm sorry. Would I go to a job interview like this? If you wouldn't go to a job interview, then why would you come to services like that? If the shirt's designed to be tucked in, then tuck it in. My son has the option and the choice to wear shirts that aren't tucked in. And he does. You know, he doesn't like to tuck his shirts in, but he also understands the principle of shirts that are designed to tuck in, he tucks in. The last rule is more for my daughters, but it can be summed up in a simple statement. Okay? Raise your hands and touch your toes. If anything shows, go change your clothes. And there's a lot I could say there, but I'm not going to belabor the point. Okay, I think we all get the idea. So, wisely choosing, okay, what you wear. Let's be smart about this. Another example in terms of wisely talking about forms of entertainment, clothing, choices we make. Okay? I have a high school classmate I was best friends with in high school. To this day, he will not go to a high school reunion because there's always the presence of alcohol. He chooses to abstain from all appearance of evil. And I can't fault him for that. So he's being above reproach. He's living by the principle of abstaining from all appearance of evil and above reproach. I know of a couple years back that are in the church, still in the church. Their daughter got married. Their daughter had already gotten married, but they were having a dinner for some reason at a casino. The parents went and join them at the casino and other things. I don't think that was a wise decision. I don't think that's wisely choosing our liberties appropriately. Have we lowered our standards, our expectations of ourselves or our children so much? I want to share a quote with you from Frank Martin, no relation. He's a basketball coach of South Carolina. He used to be the basketball coach, some of you may know, of Kansas State University. But here's what he said. You know what makes me sick to my stomach? When I hear grown people say that kids have changed. Kids haven't changed. We've changed as adults. We demand less of kids. We make their lives easier instead of preparing them for what life is truly about. We're the ones that have changed. And there's a lot of truth in what he's saying. Why have we lowered our standards? Why have we lowered our expectations? Why are we doing everything for our children? Is it because we have so much liberty, so many choices, that we have become a slave to liberty? James Madison once wrote, "Liberty may be endangered by the abuses of liberty." You've been granted liberty, but now you're abusing that very same liberty in which you're granted. Second Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by him a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Peter, while emphasizing the good fortune of being free men, they were themselves a group of slaves. Not literally, but a slave to sin. Peter's point here is that if a man is overcome by anything, he is a slave of that very thing. Paul teaches the same thing in Romans chapter 6. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ hath made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast, the word stand fast. You know, in marching, there's a military term called stand fast. You have four columns of men, so when they give the order stand fast, two of them march forward, and the other two stand fast. They don't move. Not only do they not move, they don't scratch their nose, they don't adjust their shirt, they don't do anything. They stand fast, unmovable. They can barely blink. This requires self-discipline. This requires self-control. Sometimes you need to stand fast when it comes to your principles. That means if someone asks you to go, let's go do this thing. Stand fast. In other words, if you have doubt, then there's a reason for that doubt. Don't go. Don't be pressured. Exercise self-control. You may have heard of something called the fruit of the Spirit. One of those things is called self-control. That's dealing specifically with you and your ability to control those things. In Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to take this time now. Young people, learn and read Proverbs, particularly the first 10 chapters of Proverbs. Before you go to college, well, you need to actually read that in high school. Read chapter 1 all the way through chapter 10 and go back and do it again. Proverbs chapter 4. Beginning in verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Avoid temptation. Again, it requires self-control. It requires self-discipline. But you have a choice. And this chapter talks about, or not in this chapter, but later on in chapter 9, it talks about the path of wisdom and the path of folly. You always have a choice. Don't be pressured into following the wicked path. Earlier it was mentioned, I think, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, about bad company corrupts good morals. I believe Ben mentioned that. Turn back to Galatians chapter 5. We'll wrap up here. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I say, when walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So, you don't always get to do the things you wish. It's okay to say no, Mom and Dad. Because we are to walk in the Spirit. We are not to walk after the flesh. The Spirit is against the flesh, and Christ is the one that has granted us liberty, not freedom. So understand the flesh and the Spirit are contrary to one another. Christ is the one who has granted you liberty through His shed blood. So I implore you to choose wisely.